Welcome to Take Notes, S&P Global Ratings Structured Finance Podcast and the credit event of your day. Tune in as your hosts, Jim Manzi and Tom Schopflocker, explore hot topics across the structured finance and global markets.
Hello and welcome to Take Notes. I'm your host, Tom Schopflocker. With me in the studio today is RMBS analyst Jeremy Schneider. Anyone who follows the non-agency RMBS market has heard of non-QM. This is the subsector in which mortgage loans, while still satisfying the ability to repay rule, deviate in some way from the qualified mortgage guidelines set forth by the CFPB in 2014. Non-QM loans fall into one of several categories. They could be loans that have a prior credit event, they might have alternative documentation, such as bank statements as opposed to W-2s, they might be taken out by foreign nationals, they may have a DTI or debt-to-income ratio greater than 43%, but there's also a type of loan which we refer to as the DSCR or no ratio loan. And these are slightly different. And Jeremy now is going to tell us what this other category is.
Hey, thanks, Tom. Yeah, DSCR no ratio. Ironically enough, they fall into the non-QM bucket, at least in terms of the way that we kind of categorize things. But in fact, in most cases, they're QM exempt. The virtue of them being DSCR, what we call debt service coverage ratio, mean that their loans underwritten to investor properties is to secure collateral. And under the designation for QM and ATR, this is viewed more as a business purpose type loan and therefore is QM exempt. However, to the subcategories that you went over, we do include it in the categorization.
And what does it mean when we say a no ratio loan?
Well, a no ratio loan is effectively a debt service coverage ratio or DSCR loan for which there's no debt service coverage ratio.
Got it.
So the underwriting is not using that specific ratio, but it's using the absence of that ratio, and we therefore call it no ratio.
Investor property loans have been around for quite a while. Immediately post-crisis, when many homes are cheap, they were purchased in bulk and in some cases securitized. The so-called single-family rental sector, or SFR, has been around since about 2012. Tell us how DSCR loan RMBS differ from SFR.
Well, sure. So the former that you refer to where, you know, several years ago when home prices had kind of hit the floor in roughly 2012 and then started appreciating, that was a point in time where you saw large institutional investors go in and purchase single family properties for the purposes of renting them out. And I think that model moved a little bit to more granular type operating models where it may not just be only one large institution. And those transactions, whether they be referred to as RMBS or CMBS or some type of hybrid, did have more of a CMBS type element or commercial mortgage-backed securities element than what we see with DSCR, predominantly given the structure and the types of properties, et cetera, that were in those operating models. Conversely, with DSCR no ratio, they tend to be much smaller operating models where there may not be as many properties that are mortgaged for the borrowing entity. And we have seen somewhat of a growth of these in the non-QM space. So they may have been around for some time, but in terms of capital markets participation, we are starting to see some growth.
Now let's talk about underwriting for a moment. The DSCR as a metric is typically associated with CMBS, in which the ability of the property to generate income is crucial. How exactly is this measured with investor properties?
Well, unlike the traditional residential mortgage loan you would get for an investor property that would effectively look at the borrower's personal income, including whatever type of job they may have and wages, et cetera, and compare that to liabilities that may exist on what you would find under credit reports, such as student loans or car loans or credit card revolving debt. The DSCR is different in that it removes the personal income element for qualifying purposes and focuses more directly on the actual cash flow of the property. So that element is what becomes more CMBS-like, although I will say that the DSCR calculation, at least for the Resi DSCR, is a bit more rudimentary in terms of the calculation, at least from what we've seen, isn't so CMBS-like, where in CMBS you would be applying haircuts for things like capital expenditures ongoing or vacancy rates or things like that. So it takes some element, but not certainly all of it.
So the DSCR is the primary metric that's used when underwriting these loans. But Are traditional underwriting measures still used in the case of DSCR loans?
Absolutely. So the usage of whether it be property type or loan purpose, loan type, FICO score, all the things that you would see in a traditional resi underwrite still exist. And again, the main difference being that when qualifying the income part of the underwriting process, it's not about the personal ability of the obligor to make the payment given their income and liabilities on a personal basis. It's more about what can this property generate. And that DSCR ratio or that no ratio is used in tandem with the other traditional underwriting factors I mentioned, such as FICO, loan to value, loan purpose, etc.
Now let's turn to rating the deals. Are DSCR loan RMBS treated differently from other RMBS when you rate the transactions?
Well, the main differentiation is in terms of how we model the expected defaults, I would say, in these transactions. And again, given the nature of DSCR being that it's a little bit more unique, more bespoke, the historical data is not entirely representative compared to the more traditional underwrite. We do view them differently from a probability of default perspective, and we apply adjustment factors that all in all, net-net, all else being equal, are typically higher than what you would see on a traditional underwrite.
Now, in a typical deal, to what extent is the pool itself concentrated in DSCR loans?
Well, that can vary. And what we've seen is in the non-QM space, which really started to take off a few years ago, we would see pools comprising maybe 5, 10, 15, 20% of these. And then we started to see, I believe it was last year, the actual introduction of single shelves that would actually include 100% DSCR and no ratio loans, which was kind of the first of its type, per se, to have its own shelf or its own unique kind of non-QM, QM exempt subsector. So they've been growing from that standpoint, we expect to see continued growth.
As we mentioned before, traditional SFR strategies grew out of the post-crisis housing price trough, and they were focused in specific regions, such as Atlanta, Phoenix, and Texas. In the case of DSCR loans, are these also concentrated geographically, and if so, where?
Well, what we've seen is the concentration levels are predominantly in the California LA metro. We see a lot in New York metro, New York City, that is, and we also see a lot in the state of Florida. And when you compare this to your kind of general non-QM, it's more concentrated in those areas than the general non-QM. And when you even look beyond further and look at a kind of typical conforming type pool, for the conforming type pool, you would see much more kind of dispersion and scattering across the entire U.S., where when you look at the visual on these in terms of a heat map, you see concentration in the three areas I mentioned. It could be due to a few different reasons. One is those areas may have higher average home prices comparatively to the national level, and the DSCR loan may be something that's catered more towards those specific areas compared to the single family rental strategy, where historically it may have been a bit more scattered and skewed more toward the national home price average. So that's probably one of the findings. And I would also say to it, it's still a small part of the overall RMBS market or mortgage market. So it could be that the number of institutions that are providing these loans may have their own specificity in terms of what states or what areas they may actually may be willing to lend in, as opposed to a bank or a non-bank originator that may have been around for a very long time that covers the span of 50 states.
Okay. Now, Miami, LA, New York, these are expensive areas with average home values well above the national figure. How does this bode for millennials who are now forming households and entering the housing market?
Well, I think the demographic data shows that that's where we're going to see a lot of the household formation is in the millennial generation. We're already seeing that the entry-level housing is where a bulk of the demand is. And we acknowledge that if you're in an area that you referred to, like a California or New York, where property prices in general are higher, then it may be more difficult for someone that's just starting their career progression and at an entry-level basis to actually get into a property, and therefore renting may be a more suitable way to at least shelter yourself in terms of housing. So from that purview, it wouldn't be surprising if we see more growth in kind of the DSCR no ratio investment property strategy if people that want to go ahead and lever up in that type of real estate and use it as an operating model may choose to do so. So we think that demographic theme going forward could kind of buoy the DSCR no ratio.
The non-QM sector has been growing exponentially in recent years. Last year, there was over $9 billion in non-QM RMBS issuance. And so far this year, we have seen over $14 billion and are expecting another $6 billion in volume. Is the DSCR subsector also poised for growth?
From what we've been seeing in the data in terms of our rated portfolio, we've seen growth in it. We think it can continue. Now, whether or not it outpaces or underpaces the degree of growth in non-QM, we'll see how that transpires. I think there may be another sector in non-QM that has a little bit more of a growth spurt, but I do think that based on the demographic information we shared and what seems to be popularity in the product and the actual specific issuance shells catered only to DSCR no ratio, I think it's also poised for growth.
Great. Well, we have a new paper on the topic, so you can check that out on our website, spglobal.com/SF research. I'd like to thank my guest, Jeremy Schneider. Talk to you next time on Take Notes.
To subscribe to Take Notes or to view our analysts' research, go to spratings.com/structuredfinance. Thanks for listening to Take Notes with Jim Manzi and Tom Schopflocker.